morning.
Glad to see you at the river. We're getting ready to watch a little video, but I want to make a couple comments to you before we do this. Number one, you guys pray for me. I'm a grieving hokey today.
Aww.
If it was a real loss, I'd be okay with it. That was pitiful. Anyway, secondly, last week we asked you guys to pray for God's direction regarding... to pray for us, pray for our church regarding God's direction for purchasing a van/bus. As all the info has come in, and it appears that we're about to purchase a van/bus for our church. So, can you pray about that? We will, 2004 Chevy Express 3500 van/bus. So, if you have any warning info, see me afterwards. Seems like this is how God's leading us, so keep praying about that. We figured out with insurance and cost, if we use it twice a year, it's break even rather than as opposed to renting a van. So, anyway, it looks like a good deal, so keep that in your prayers as we approach. Go ahead with that. Okay, video ready? Poor version of what that audio was. What can you do but laugh? Yeah. I mean, hit the lights, please. That was supposed to be a really cute, funny video to introduce the idea of how kids will mimic their parents. Now, I'm pretty much done there. Just get it off the screen. Have you seen, your parents could probably tell stories of, you know, working on the car, and there's your little Johnny with a pair of pliers and trying to do what you're doing, or you're mowing the grass and he's walking behind you pretending to mow the grass, or that's the kind of stuff that I experienced and saw. I'm not sure what girls do. Maybe they cook. I know Bethany's cooking all the time, at home making dishes that are just too tasty to taste. That's what daddy does too, right? Yeah. When mom says take out the garbage.
You mean now?
Yeah. But that's the idea that we're coming at for Ephesians chapter 5. As we continue in our study in the book of Ephesians, we come to the beginning of chapter 5. We're going to be continuing some of the ideas where Paul tells us in chapter 4, verse 1, that we are to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. And we said that every Christian is called by God. Every Christian is gifted. Every Christian is called to live a life worthy of his calling. So today we're going to take that a little bit further as he tells us how to do this, following up the idea from the previous week of putting off our old way of life and putting on the new. Just like changing the dirty shirt that Brett did for us last week. You take off the dirty, soiled shirt, you put on the new one, and that's how it is in the Christian life. We leave our old life, our old ways behind, and we put on the new way of life as a child of God should live. And so that's really where we are as we begin chapter 5. He's given us some more very specifics of how we are to be imitators of God. So if you're physically able, I'll ask you to stand to your feet and honor the Word of God, and we'll read from chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. I'm going to read on a little bit further. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your incredible truth. And Father, as we look at this passage today, we ask you to open our spiritual ears to hear, our hearts to grasp, our minds to understand the things that you want to do in us today. Father, as we unpack this a little and apply it to our lives, Lord, I pray that we would be different as we leave here today than we were when we came in. Because your word would do that work as you, Holy Spirit, illumine that word to our hearts and minds, and as we apply it, Lord, just do that. Cutting off of the things that need to be let go. As Hebrews said, we throw off everything that hinders and entangles us. We run with our eyes fixed on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. So God, speak to us today. Bless our time together. We seek you, God. It's in Jesus' name that we pray together. Amen. You may be seated. As we're singing that song this morning, where you got to say Yahweh, you know, or shout Yahweh, as the song says, that should never be taken lightly. You see, Yahweh is that name of God that was so holy, the personal name of God, that the Jews would not write it. If they did write down the transliteration, they would write the consonants, they wouldn't add the vowels, and if they did that, they would throw the pen away. It was just such a holy thing. They didn't want to say the word for this holy name of God because of who he is, the creator. He's so holy, so awesome, that we should just be on our face before him when we say his name. You know? Well, today, because of what Christ has done on the cross, we have direct access to God the Father. Because he is our great high priest, who paid the price for our sins. He paid the price so we don't have to. So now we don't need a priest to stand between us and God. We can pray right to him, and we can have this intimate relationship with the creator of the universe, and we get to say Yahweh. And man, that's an incredible thing for us to talk to him and have intimacy with the one who created everything that we see. This whole world, the universe, the things that scientists are still studying, trying to understand. God created everything. And yet we get to talk to him and call his holy name. In fact, the scripture says that we get to call him our daddy. And the scripture, when it says we call him our Abba Father, the closest translation we have to that is daddy. So no matter what your earthly father is like or was like or whatever your experience is, I'm here to tell you, you have a heavenly daddy who is loving, who is just. He is always fair. He always has your best interest in mind, and that's who we're calling out to. This loving heavenly Father that we get to know, that we get to have a relationship with. And in the first verse of this chapter says, be imitators of God. The word it says, be mimickers of God. So we're to be mimicking him. So, you know, when we talk about the the video of the kid on the phone. I wish we could have all seen and heard. Mimicking his parents on the phone and doing what they were doing, or whether it's working on the car, mowing the grass, or cooking, and all the things that kids do to imitate parents. We are to be imitating God. Mimickers of God. The issue for us is, you see, as human beings, we have earthly, or most of us, not everyone does, but we have had, or at some point have, an earthly role model called Dad that we look at that has flesh and bones. And you know, I tell parents all the time is that, you know, you can say all you want to say, but they're going to do what you do. They're going to follow your example. But when it comes to us as, and the minute you dad can do that, I see head shaking. Yes, they're going to do what you do. And you know, it may not be mowing the grass or working on the car. Maybe other habits that you don't want them to imitate, but they imitate. I remember as a kid, the first time I just let something fly out of my mouth that I'd heard. And I got the soap threat. My dad looked at me and said, "What'd you do that, son?" And I wasn't too bright. I said, "I got it from you." "You did not do that." You know, I was like, "Ooh, okay." But I did what I thought was okay because my daddy did it, and I got in trouble for it. And his motto used to be, "Do as I say, not as I do." And what are kids going to do? Do as you do, not as you say. And that's just how it is. More is caught than taught. Well, when we don't have a Heavenly Father with skin on, that we can look at Him and watch what He does, how do you follow His role model? How do you know what He's like to follow, to mimic Him? How do you know? NJ is all about it this morning. But just so you know, parents, kids don't bother me. To me, that's signs of life. I'd rather have kids here than chuck them away somewhere and pack them away and keep them quiet. So how do you know? If you're to mimic your Heavenly Father, how do you know what He's like? What does He do? How do you follow His role models? How do you know? The Word of God. Primarily, we learn what we can know about God from the Scripture. Now, Romans 1 says, what can be known about God can be seen in all of creation, so that man is without excuse. Well, what do you see in creation? He's pretty creative. Go to the zoo. Look at all those animals, all the colors and shapes and sizes, and it's like, oh my goodness, God is creative. Look outside and you see the beautiful earth that He's given us to enjoy. That's an expression of love to us. I learned my second year of marriage, not the first year, but I learned my second year of marriage that my wife was an expression of God's love to me. First year, I was still, you know, learning this thing of how He was shaping me, and I thought I was the perfect guy until I got married. And I learned all the ways that I needed to change and be more like Jesus in order to make my life easier. Because if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And the same is true, I'm told, in my house. If daddy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. All right, it goes both ways. It's a team effort. But we learn about God from looking at creation. We learn about God primarily from studying His Word and what the Word of God says about God to us. And we learn about God from how other role models, from those who claim to know God, we watch their lives, don't we? That may be a little more imperfect role model. We acknowledge the humanity. But as the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But I'll just have to tell you, at some point, every human being is going to let you down at some time. Okay? There is no perfect human. There was only one that ever walked the planet, and you know what happened to him. He paid the price for us, and now he's at the right hand of God as our best friend, our intercessor before God on our behalf. Folks, we have such a privilege of knowing God, of having forgiveness of being set free, that we should never take that for granted. We should never let that fall into the role of the mundane in our lives. It should be something that renews us every day as we focus once again on who God is and the privilege we have of knowing Him. It should just blow us away every day of His incredible love for us, and the fact that we get to know Him, and we get to live in this love relationship with the created universe. And we know that because of that relationship, when we breathe our last breath in this life, we get to go to be with our Heavenly Father. All because of what He has done on the cross for us, and because we've surrendered our lives to Him, the person of Jesus. So, we are to be mimicking our Father. Now, is that reality in most cases? If anyone's been in church for any length of time, I know you've had some experiences that says that's not happening. Okay? But that doesn't mean that we stop trying. When my older brother was he'd gone off to Florida Bible College, and you know, he'd kind of gone off the deep end, as my dad used to say. And they took in a homeless guy, and he was sleeping on their couch. And they woke up the next morning. The car was gone. All the electronics were gone. Anything of any value that was in that living room was gone. And, I mean, he was burned big time, you know. And they found the car down somewhere midway through Florida, transmission gone in it. And of course, the electronics were there. Everything was gone. And he was pretty burned. But I was talking to him about it. And I said, "So, do you regret taking the guy into your house now?" And he said, "Andy, I can't quit doing ministry just because I had a bad experience." You go, man. And, you know, regardless of your bad experience, you don't give up on God. Regardless of who has let you down, you don't give up on that relationship with your Creator, because that is the treasure. That is the most important thing in this life that you get to take to eternity. People are always going to let you down. Folks, I can't tell you the number of times I've thrown in the towel. I'm done with ministry. I'm never going to pastor again. I've had it, God. Every Monday morning. No, just teasing. I've had it. I'm done. And God says, "No, you're not. I still have stuff for you to do. I want you to keep being faithful." And he just, you know, that my daddy just picks me up, dusts me off, and puts me back on the right path. He renews me. Romans 12:2, "Be no longer conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will." Folks, that's the challenge right there. How do you get to know the Father? Spend time in the Word. Read the Bibles. Renew your mind. Transform your thinking. Garbage in, garbage out. If all you do is sit in front of the boom tube and surf and just whatever comes on, you take in, guess what? Your life will begin to reflect what you're taking in. Whether it's television, whether it's radio, whether it's movies, whether you're hanging out with the wrong people, whatever it is, what you're taking in, your life will become like those things unless you are totally washing your mind in the Word of God. And so we need to be, as David said, "I will set no unclean thing before my eyes." Now, I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm not talking about giving you a list of what you can do, what you can't do. No, I want you to have freedom in Christ. There are certain things we simply should not be doing as followers of Christ. We're not to be like the world, as we've discovered in the previous chapters of this book, but we are to be imitators now of our Heavenly Father. And if you would not watch something because Jesus or the Father was sitting there beside you with whatever's coming on the screen, then guess what? You don't look at it. You don't watch it. It's not good for you. Because guess what? He is there. He is there. If you know Him, He indwells you. As we read the last message, the previous section, that we should not grieve. Chapter 4, verse 30. and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed the day of redemption. We place ourselves in environments where we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Does our behavior sometimes grieve the Spirit of God? Do you sense that? See, here's the rub. The Holy Spirit's the one who sealed you for the day of redemption. So if you engage in some activity the Bible will call sin, the Holy Spirit within you will bring conviction in your life for that sin. Until we get it right with God, repent of our sins, ask forgiveness, and repentance again is a 180-degree turn from the way you're going. You turn and you agree with God and His Word. That's what repentance is. Leaving it behind, forsaking that, turning to God. So when we repent of those things, He forgives us. He says He is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you don't have conviction, if you don't feel bad for the things you've done, if you don't go, ooh, yeesh, I shouldn't have done that, then maybe you better get your primary relationship straight with the Creator, with the Father. Because if you don't have conviction, if you don't have that sense of this needs to change in my life, then either you don't know Him, or you've come to this place, we read about it a couple of Sundays ago, where we begin to lose all sensitivity to what He's doing and we cease to hear His voice. That's a scary place to be. We want to keep short accounts with God. We want to keep that relationship right and primary. So how do we imitate God? We do what He does, what He does, what He would do, and we keep that short account and we demonstrate our love back to Him by walking in obedience to His Word. He just said, if you love me, you do what? You keep my commands. How do you know those who belong to God? You judge a tree by its fruit. You see, that's the demonstration of someone who has a relationship with God, is that we do what He says. And in this passage, we are to mimic Him. We are to be an imitator of Him, because if we are His children, we should act like Him. Makes sense, right? If He's our daddy, we act like our daddy. And so that's just a given. Now, for God demonstrated His love for us in Christ. For we are to imitate Him as dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, love involves sacrifice. In order to obey God, in order to show God our love for Him, or to imitate His love for us, He sacrificed His Son for us, and now we sacrifice our strong will, we sacrifice of our desires, we put them on the altar in obedience to God. The first part of Romans 12, the first verse says that we are to become living sacrifices. That we offer ourselves, our bodies to God as living sacrifices. This is our spiritual or reasonable act of service. Now, the problem with living sacrifices, you know what I'm going to say? Is living sacrifices always want to crawl off the altar. That's why it's an act of our will to stay obedient to God even when we don't want to. Now, would you say, I'm a Christian? Hopefully you never have to say that to anyone else. They should know that by your life. But the word Christian, you read the book of Acts, the Christians were first called Christians at Berea because it was actually a derogatory term. It was a mocking term. Now look at those Christians. You know how they are. You know, those Christians, they do their own thing. Well, the word Christian simply means little Christ. Would people say that of you, of your life, of your character, the fruit of your life, when they see your life, would they say, that person must be a Christian? That person acts like a little Christ. That should be something others would say of us. We should never have to say, well, I'm a Christian, so therefore I don't do those things. No, no, no. If you have to say that, something's wrong with the witness anyway. Like, no, I don't do those things. Why do you not do those things? Well, you know, honor, obey God. Oh, you're one of those Christians. Okay, you said it, I didn't. But that should be the role of our life, should be obedience. We mimic Him. God demonstrated His love for us through the cross and what Jesus did for us. Romans 5:8 says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Many of us, you can think back about your life and how you used to thumb your nose at God. Maybe you made fun of preachers and you didn't like what you saw. And you lived a life that didn't honor God. And you can look back and you can think about those days and say, man, I really wasn't smart. While I was still a sinner, Jesus died for me. Even when I wasn't loving God, the only part of God, He still loved me. He died for me because He wants a relationship with me. That still blows me away to this day. That God wants a relationship with us. Look at yourself in the mirror when you get up tomorrow morning, no matter what you look like, and look in the mirror and say, God wants a relationship with me, not with me. We know ourselves. We know our hearts. No one else knows what's going in your heart but you and God. And there are many days, folks, I look in the mirror and I know me and I'm like, you know, I'm just so shocked God still loves me. The scripture says the heart of man is continually wicked. So left to our own vices, we're going to mess up. But it's complete submission to God and being an imitator of God that makes the difference in our lives because of what He's done, the provision for Him, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God has given us to give us all the tools. 2 Peter says He's given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us for His own glory and goodness. So you learn about Him through the Word of God, you apply it to our lives, and we are renewed to live this life. And there are days, you can testify to this, where something happens, you react in a way that you didn't used to react. You used to get angry and fly off the handle and say things, and all of a sudden in a situation you go, hey, I didn't act like I used to act. That's cool. Look what the Word of God's doing in my life. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God active in us. And we begin to change. We begin to act differently. As Adrian Rogers used to say, if your life hasn't changed since you came to know Jesus, and you have not met the Jesus of the Bible, because He changes our lives. So, we mimic Him. God's demonstrated it. Therefore, we should live this life of love. 1 Peter 4:8. And I've got two bookmarks in 1 John. That was good. These little books flip by so quickly. I put stickums on there, but I marked the same one twice. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If you don't love, you don't know God. It's basically what that says. First, a paraphrase of 1 John 4:7-8. So what should our conduct be? If we're imitators of God, what should our conduct be towards other people in the family of God? Hello? Love each other. Love each other deeply. That's what you should experience when you come in to a group called the family of God. A place where you have acceptance and love. Now, that opens up a whole can of worms of stuff that we can talk through from Matthew 18 and church discipline. I choose to call it church restoration. But you see, everything we do is motivated by love, the love of the Father. Even a church restoration process, when some church member is caught in a sin, the point is never to say, get out of here and never see you again. The point is to say, hey, we see this is wrong. We're challenging with this because we have your best interest in mind, because God has your best interest in mind, and we love you. We're hoping for the best. We want to see this thing change. We want to see you turn around and be victorious for Jesus. And so you should come into a place, the body of Christ, where you feel loved. A place where you feel accepted.